is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com. The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here at Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. Yeah, thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. Magical engineer Frank's ready. I'm ready. We got a great show. First part of the show, we're going to be talking about the RSV vaccine. Yes, remember last week I said there wasn't any treatment for that kind of weird walking pneumonia? Well, guess what? We dug up some stuff, so hang on tight. And we got a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform, hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, the mind and the time, because it grows short. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the blessed breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, and for the helmet, and for the hope of salvation. Yes, that's the armor of God, right? The breastplate of righteousness. Gird yourself in truth, shod your feet in the gospel of peace. Make sure you have the sword of the Spirit that quenches those fiery darts of the devil. And the shield of faith, also quenching those darts. And also, well, the sword is really the word of God. That's how you do it. And then the helmet of salvation. So you got the whole armor of God. Make sure you're wearing that. Seek the Lord's face because the battle's coming. And you must be prepared, mentally, spiritually, physically prepared. So seek the Lord's face. Well, and without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker. Here's a study. Environmental Health Perspectives Journal reported this study on marijuana users saying they seem to have heavy metals. 7,000 people in the study participated, and these folks were marijuana users. They had a 27% higher level of lead in their blood and 21% higher level in their urine compared to people who don't use marijuana. Users also had 22% higher cadmium levels in their blood and 18% higher levels in their urine than the non-users. This was Columbia University did the study, and they compared all this to tobacco users, to cadmium exposure, lead, and all that. Both had cadmium and lead, but those that were cannabis users seemed to have a little higher percentage. No amount of lead is really safe for the human body. You know that. That's, and even the Environmental Protection Agency will confirm that. So be aware what you put in the body matters. And last but not least in the Quack Report, life expectancy study exposes vaccinations as a real threat to human history. Whoa! This is Mark Crispin Miller. He's reporting on the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19 vaccination. They said it's playing a huge role in decreasing life expectancy all over the world, and particularly in the United States. They said some recent studies point to other factors, including opioid epidemics, mental health issues, and chronic metabolic diseases as also being some of the frontline diseases that is decreasing life expectancy in America. According to Dr. Brendan Yen, MD, he said, we have a healthcare system that is very advanced in treating illnesses and advanced diseases, but for the most part, it's not very good when it comes to preventative care, end of quote. Well, doc, it's because medicine doesn't make its money preventing disease. It makes its money treating disease. So why would they prevent it? Duh. And that wraps the Quack Report. Oh, okay. Frank says it's the fertilizers they're using on the weed. Oh, that could be. Yes, Frank. Thanks for pointing that out. I'm not a marijuana user. I never was. I don't know. Especially, I can't smoke anything. My lungs say, only oxygen coming in here. So, hey, but now, no, I don't do the edibles. No, don't do this. So, can't really say, you know, I'm not a user, so I really can't give you insights there. But what, Frank? Ah, but you are an herbalist. I am an herbalist. Yes, I am. But I just never got into the cannabis thing. You know, growing up, I just didn't. I was just too squeaky clean. I didn't have any of those problems. Yes, cannabis is an herb. And cannabis, really, Frank, thanks for pointing this out, is one of the pain herbs. That's what it's known for down through history and writings. That and poppy, but we know what happened to both of these. They got highly regulated, right? So they were really for pain, for chronic pain issues. All right. Well, let's dive into this RSV vaccine issue, because if you recall, the RSV illness called respiratory syncytium virus is still circulating in the United States. It's causing a lot of problems for all ages, really. And I reported on this just the other week that the RSV is a type of walking pneumonia, but it's not the bacterial kind. It's brought on by viruses. So at the time of my report, there wasn't really any indication yet from modern medicine how to treat it. Doctors were actually treating it with what they call comfort care, you know, rest, drink plenty of fluids, and let it run its course. So within the last few days, though, media advertisements are promoting the RSV vaccine for, quote, eligible patients like pregnant women and adults over 60. However, infants and children may be prescribed this vaccine by their physicians. And the vaccine is called, one of them is called Beyfortus, and it's been added to the regular vaccination schedule. So you know the kids are going to get this. Let me read you a quote from the CDC. It says, women who are 32 through 36 weeks pregnant during September through January are recommended by the CDC to get one dose of the maternal RSV vaccine to help protect their babies. We're going to get into this, though. So what is Beyfortus? Well, the RSV vaccine, Beyfortus, is made by Pfizer, was recently approved by the FDA in May of 2023. It was approved a month after GlaxoSmithKline RSV vaccine was approved, and their RSV vaccine is called AXV. It's weird. So in the summer of 2023, they started seeing some cases of RSV, which kind of picked up momentum this fall. And according to the CDC, a normal season of RSV is fall through winter, but they're seeing it starting earlier. And the CDC now has an RSV surveillance team. Now, according to the CDC, they recorded some statistics on this particular virus. Get this now, Frank. 2 hospitalizations out of 100,000 in 2019 of this disease. 3 hospitalizations out of 100,000 people in 2020. 0 cases in 2021, and they said medicine thinks it was due to the lockdowns. 1 hospitalization out of 100,000 in 2022, and 5 hospitalizations out of 100,000 in 2023. Now, notice since it came out, the uptick, since the vaccine came out, what do you suppose this means? The CDC has stated that the RSV is a common virus and expects all, A-L-L, to contract the disease. Everybody. Here is a quote. CDC, they said, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention expects that nearly everyone in the United States will be infected with RSV by the age of 2. Now, does that mean the vaccine infection? I kind of think it does. So what is it? Well, what ingredients are in the RSV vaccine, and is it a pneumonia vaccine? Well, we're told the RSV vaccine is a viral vaccine, whereas your pneumonia vaccine is a bacterial vaccine. So the ingredients in your RSV vaccine are 120 mcgs of RSV stabilized perfusion F proteins, 60 mcgs of RSV pre-FA, and 60 mcgs of RSV pre-FV. So these are proteins. So what you essentially have is a man-made genetic material originally from the pneumonia virus family called the paramicrovirus family, and it has a single-strand RNA, genome. It supposedly can't mutate, they say. That's what they say. Viruses always mutate, and then, of course, their vaccines don't work. Well, does the vaccine work? Well, since the vaccine has not been in use long, it will be kind of hard to gather some data to answer that question on a human population level. But I personally feel, this is my personal opinion, I personally think vaccines are not designed to prevent disease. And that's not what they're here for. Now, perhaps Denmark, though, can shed some light on this subject. Does it work? This is Rutgers report, July 2023. They say on July 22nd, 2023, Rutgers reported that the Denmark-based Bavarian Nordic BAVA company said it was ending its respiratory syncytial virus or RSV vaccine program as its phase 3 clinical trial did not meet all the preliminary goals of preventing the lower respiratory tract disease, end of quote. And Paul Chaplin, chief executive officer at Bavarian Nordic, says, we are disappointed that our RSV vaccine candidate was not successful in this pivotal trial, end of quote. Interesting. The third phase clinical trial is after the lab animal trial. Normally, if the drug treatment shows promising results in the animal phase clinical trial, it is permitted to move to the human phase clinical trials, called phase 3. But it failed in phase 3. It appears that according to Denmark's phase 3 trials, that the vaccine was a huge failure. And according to Rutgers' report, the new RSV vaccine is expected to be a big moneymaker. Here is what they said. The market for RSV vaccines could exceed $10 billion by 2030, according to our analysis, end of quote. Uh-huh. Well, however, there are additional facts, aspects of this RSV vaccine industry the public doesn't know about. According to the Rutgers report, Denmark discontinued the program, which included their partnership with China's based Nuance Pharmacy of March 2023 to develop and market the RSV vaccine intended for, get this, Asian markets. So it appears that we have different serums for RSV from different drug companies for different segments of the global population. Now, I don't think this is anything about territorial things, right? Because if one vaccine performs better than another, everybody in the world should have access to it, right? Well, and the medical science really has been working on RSV serums for some time. An October 2014 report from the National Library of Medicine Biotechnology Center discussed the F proteins in the virus. Let me just back up a minute about this Asian market thing. Proteins, if you recall, proteins are real important to the human physiology. Proteins help cells react appropriately in their function, in their God-given designated function. When you alter proteins, you alter function. Okay? Now, how many people on this planet have gone on to, what is it, what's that website where you get your DNA? It's not history.com. It's, what is it called, Frank? Do you know where you go and you go up there and you fill out a form, they send you a kit and you swab the inside of your teeth and you send it off? It's a genealogy website, but it's the big one. What's the big one that people are on? No, it's not genealogy.com. It's another one. It's owned by Blackstone, I think. Isn't it? Anyway, the long and short of what I'm trying to say is people go on there and they want to do their, you know, genetic history, see who they're related to out there. And when you're on this one website that does that, they sell all that DNA information. And what are the chances that serums with protein switches can be tailored to a genetic population? Right? Frank's asking me, do we want Christmas bumper music? Well, if you got something classy, we can play that, Frank. So, yeah, if you got something classy, you know, no grandma got run over by a reindeer stuff. None of that. Okay. All right, back to our topic. So they have, according to the National Library of Medicine Biotechnology Center, October 2014, they were discussing the F proteins in the virus. And I go, what the heck is this? They said this. The G and F glycoproteins are the antigens targeted by the neutralizing antibodies induced by infection in your RSV surface glycoproteins. So, let me break this down for you. You want to notice the function of F glycoproteins that are in the RSV vaccines. They stop the body's natural antibodies that kill the viral infection. So apparently their research mentions your F proteins identify cellular receptors and influence antibody responses to infections. Could this be the reason Denmark pulled out of the RSV vaccine trial? Because you want to remember, the fastest way to make someone ill is through the pulmonary system. So, are they altering immunity? So, what is the function of the glycoproteins? Well, according to the scientific research, they said this. This is National Institute of Health. Glycoproteins allow white blood cells, or your antibodies, to travel in the body to facilitate an immune response by identifying pathogen cells or infection. So, this is suggesting the likelihood of causing these serums could cause immune dysfunction or autoimmune disease. So according to the February 2013 American Journal of Reproductive Immunology, the vaccines with glycoprotein influence the innate, that's your inborn regulating ability of the immune system to use its adaptive immune cells. this is suggesting, the immune system will not store or remember the antibodies to use to defend a person against infection. Therefore, the person essentially has no immunity when they take these types of F-protein serums. So vaccinating pregnant women with serums like this, the glycoproteins, can threaten the immunity of the fetus. Here's the National Institute of Health. Proteins offer an inducting action of enhancing or inhibiting an immune response. Did you catch that? That's what they're doing. They're taking over a person's immune system. Now, when you do that, you control life or death, don't you? Well, let's see. Are there any side effects from the RSV vaccine? Well, currently the side effects listed are pain, redness, swelling at the injection site, as well as fatigue, fever, headache, nausea, diarrhea, and muscle and joint pain. So these side effects actually describe the overall symptoms when you contract the virus. Also, severe cases are not just in the upper northeast now. They're saying the CDC is reporting the following southern states having more cases of RSV. Tennessee, the highest at 27%, Florida at 22%, Louisiana at 21%, Texas at 20%, and Georgia at 15%. So you want to be prepared to protect your health with something other than risky vaccine. So there are many herbal supplements that can assist the body in, you know, recovering from viruses and bacterial pneumonias. I like a combination of things like echinacea root and the Siberian ginseng and the garlic. Sometimes I'll pair that with Parda Arco Innervar. So this combination lifts the body's energy, helps the immune system kill the infection. And for any congestion, I like to use an herb called Lobelia inflata. I like it in a liquid form. We call it relaxation formula at Apothecary Herbs. They include it in the pneumonia kit, by the way. So it helps to dilate the bronchial tubes, loosen sticky mucus, and deliver more power in your cough to help purge mucus. So, and, you know, at night, especially the cough, sometimes you want to calm it down so you get some rest. So I like thyme tincture for that. It has a germicide in it that helps with coughs. So you can look for these herbal formulas at Apothecary Herbs. I also like that thyme tincture. I layer it in with maybe the pneumonia kit, maybe some Typhoo oil, which helps disinfect the airway and shrink any swollen passages, which is nice. So you can look for your thyme tincture, Typhoo oil, pneumonia kit, and some other things to help support your immune system to fight a lot of these things. At Apothecary Herbs, you give them a call. Their number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. International is 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. Their web address, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Their new product catalog, I know if you've requested, a lot of you have, you're on the list to get one. They're due in the end of December. So when they get in here, we'll send those out to you. So don't panic. You're on the list. Also, don't forget, their Christmas sale is still in full swing, so you'll save 25% if you use coupon STAR23 on your order of $65 or more. So you can use that on the website, over the phone, on your order form. And you want to hurry because the sale does end December 31st, and restrictions apply. So order early to avoid those out-of-stock alerts, because we tend to run, you know, inventory a little leaner towards the end of the year. So if you don't want to back order into January, time is of the essence. Absolutely. Also, if you're on the website and you like information like this and you want to get it each week in your email, sign up for their free online newsletters, HealthQuest and American Survival. American Survival goes out Tuesday, HealthQuest Friday, and they're absolutely free. You do have to have an email address to receive it, so you can go to thepowerherbs.com. Click on Books and Newsletters, and you can sign up there. And their apps, the subscription is free. You can opt out anytime you want. And also, you'll never miss a sale. They'll also make sure you know about sales in the newsletter, so that's handy, too. So, thepowerherbs.com. Oh, I see by the clock, we got to take a little break. But when we come back, more empowering news. Don't go anywhere.
looping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson, well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Sauce, Frank. Thanks for the classy Christmas music. I can't remember that artist's name. What's his name again? Awesome voice. Love it. I can't think of it offhand. Do you remember what it is, Frank? He's classical. He's a classical guy. Oh, man. Josh Gorman. Yeah, that's who it is. Thank you, Frank. Love that. All right, we're going to talk about, can your walk diagnose you? What do you think, Frank? What's your walk like? Slow, fast gait, side to side. You kind of wiggle your hips when you walk, Frank. Well, it's kind of interesting how our health can, it can, what'd you say, Frank? It depends. Now, I don't think you're meaning it depends on the garment. All right, so we're going to talk about how interesting it is. Your body language can reveal some interesting diagnostic traits about you. For a long time, it's been a field of study on how a person walks can say a lot about that person and their health. Now, during World War II, American and British spies took classes in observation, and one observation that they were taught was how a person walks, what their gait is like, what their stride is like. It's a specific characteristic of the individual, and the military used that to as a kind of long-distance fingerprint of a suspect that they may see afar off. So, basically, during World War II, when spies were analyzing an enemy's walk through binoculars, one health expert also studied the walk of people in different cultures. So, in Africa, this expert reported that people there have a very smooth, slow glide to how they walk. But in the British Isles, they have a more rigid, fast-paced walk and gait. So he concluded in his research that your bowel function influences your gait and the way that you walk. So in Africa, the culture there is such that the people have 2 to 3 bowel movements per day, whereas in the UK, on how they eat, that culture is very different. The bowel function is less frequent. A lot of scones and white flour. Now, one culture had more fiber than the other, and that affects how you walk. And if it affects how you walk, it's going to affect how you live and your health. So in June 2017, the American Geriatric Society, they did a study on the walk of older people. And more importantly, they compared these people to those who were taking 5 or more prescription medications a day. I thought this was fascinating. Now, when we can't walk well and walk confidently, well, then we're more prone to falls and injuries. Now, records are showing that the elderly often meet their early demise from a bad fall. So when I was young, mother-to-be, my grandmother took me shopping for a baby stroller. First baby, Frank, back in the 80s. I was all excited. I should have stayed next to my grandmother, but I got distracted, and I went ahead of her because my mother was calling to me. And we went down an aisle, the baby aisle, at this local department store. And my grandmother didn't catch up with me, and so when I turned around and I looked for her, I had to go back, and I found her laying in the middle of this aisle on the floor. You can imagine my distress seeing her there. She's in her late 70s. So what she did is she couldn't discern between a very low platform display and the floor because they were the same color, and she tripped on the corner of the display, and it tumbled her to the floor. So my grandmother at that time was on a prescription heart medication. So what this study that I was reading revealed to me about medications in the elderly is about how they're steady on their feet. So this is a term, polypharmacy. It's been described as, you know, unnecessary prescription drugs and medications given to the elderly. It also refers to a multitude of medications not interacting well together and that causes harm. So this research was published in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society, and good research like this is revealing some truth to it. It's not it is not acted upon, though some of this truth is not acted upon within medicine, which is frustrating. But, you know, money answers all things. The more drugs they sell, the more money. So since creation, though, the ability to walk and to be mobile is a sign of independence. It's a sign of health and vitality. And I can remember growing up in the 60s, seeing elderly people walking everywhere and riding their bikes. I can't tell you, I haven't seen a person in their late 60s or 70s or 80s on a bike. And I don't know how long. I can remember growing up seeing them on bikes. I hardly see that today. Do you see that today, Frank? I know you're in a rural area. You may not see it. But I don't see them on bicycles. So the medical establishment really knows that some drugs can slow down or even hamper our ability to walk well. So if you have a study that involves plenty of people in many states on different drugs, and you see that the elderly have a higher mortality rate, well, that means something. So this tells you that healthcare, for the most part, is really focused on profits. And the other aspect is that the elderly may not be willing to part with their prescriptions, and they're mixing them with some over-the-counter things and supplements that they may not be shouldn't be doing. So the study, they actually measured the walking speed of about 500 elderly participants, and they kind of had two groups who were taking at least 5 prescription drugs a day and compared to participants that didn't take any medical aids at all. Now, the study was determining how the drugs were affecting the central nervous system that was slowing down their walking. And all the participants had really good mental health and were mobile at the start of the study. Yeah. And after a year, they did a follow-up on the participants. And like at the beginning, the participants were asked to walk 20 feet. And the speed and stride and the gait were all assessed. And what they learned was 34% were taking 5 prescription drugs a day. 10% were maybe taking 8 drugs a day. And most of them were in their 70s. And this is what they concluded. Participants were more likely to fall or have other cognitive issues. Patients on 5 prescribed medicines developed a slower walking speed compared to those not on medications in the same age group. Those taking 8 medications a day had slower walking and talking speed. So, you know, walking and talking at the same time was a little bit of a challenge. They had difficulty doing both at the same time. So neurological effect. Also, taking many prescription medicines, they say, may provide a negative overall well-being. So majority of people will become victims of this drug culture if they don't educate themselves and look for safer alternatives to that may be available to them. So if anybody's looking for some of those alternatives, they may want to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They may have something for you. I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask. And see what you can do about your overall health, your walking, your cognitive ability, speed, you know, your brain neurons firing and all that stuff. All right, so we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to be talking about chronic fatigue. Getting some calls lately on this again. But there was a study in 2019 from Georgetown University Medical Center, and in the reports, the physicians and other healthcare professionals, well, it showed they weren't very educated. They weren't educated enough on chronic fatigue to treat the patients that were suffering from chronic fatigue. This is bad, Frank. So the findings suggested that a majority of the patients are not receiving proper care for their condition. So according to the National Academy of Medicine review, in the United States, there are as many as 2.5 million people suffering from chronic fatigue syndrome. So the study results were published in the January 2019 Journal of Open Access Emergency Medicine, So let's just see what we can reveal here about your chronic fatigue syndrome. So the study shows that medicine is kind of falling behind, failing patients, especially that have a chronic fatigue diagnosis. All specialties in medicine seem to fall short of adequate care, and this includes your allergists, immunologists, infectious disease specialists, neurology, psychology, and nutritionalists. So one of the main findings that they investigated in their study was that their patients actually quit going to these doctors because they perceive they don't know enough about the condition to help them. Or the patients are perceiving the doctors aren't listening to them. So some patients reported they were even mocked by the health professional and criticized them as being crazy, that that's all in your head. So James Boronuk, MD, Georgetown University Medical Center, says a high proportion of patients were basically told, it's all in your head, end of quote. So some health experts kind of chalk it up to misunderstanding on the part of the patient, but most people know when they are being labeled as a mental case. When you're being mocked, you kind of know that. You do. And it's further insult to say, oh, you must have misunderstood. You just want to slap somebody, don't you, Frank? So the study also highlighted that chronic fatigue patients are tired of being A, misdiagnosed, B, disrespected, C, mistreated with medications, and D, ignored and not taken seriously. Wow. Here's some of the statistics according to their investigation in the study on the chronic fatigue patients. The chronic fatigue patients tended to educate themselves on their condition. These people were typically college degree. 70% of them were college educated. 87% of them were female. And they were also seen by their primary physicians 93% of the time. So over half of the chronic fatigue patients desperately were seeking treatment in the emergency room departments at hospitals, hoping that there'd be an expert there to be able to diagnose them properly and help them. But unfortunately, 42% are dismissed by the hospital staff as your condition is psychosomatic. In other words, it's all in your head. So when chronic fatigue patients are surveyed about their care at the hospital, they rank the staff as ignorant of chronic fatigue, scoring them at a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10. About 41% of the chronic fatigue patients really avoid going to the hospital because they perceive the staff now as nothing, having nothing for them, and won't take them seriously. Christian Timball, a medical doctor at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital in Philadelphia, he says this: there is a real need for physician education that will improve their efficiency in identifying and treating chronic fatigue syndrome and being able to distinguish its symptoms from other diseases. Helpful signs to guide the physician is that these patients are intolerant of exercise and alcohol consumption. So modern medicine is kind of logged in 9,000 articles on chronic fatigue syndrome over 64 years and not yet been able to identify the cause or produce a cure for it. Holy moly. Well, symptoms, patients with chronic fatigue report that their symptoms are quite disabling. They have a feeling of just feeling sick all over, being exhausted, having cognitive dysfunction, having trouble concentrating, remembering things, blood pressure problems, heart rate changes. They also have dizziness, muscle and joint pain, sore throats, enlarged lymph nodes in the neck and around the armpit area, headaches, and unrefreshed sleep. So the medical treatment, patients often are referred to psychiatrists because doctors think, you know, that's all psychosomatic. They also are referred to physical therapists to help them with their exercise program. Or they can be referred to specialists in cognitive training. Other treatments would be sleeping pills, tranquilizers, antidepressants, muscle relaxants, stimulants for fatigue, and pain medications, all of which should not be taken long term. And it's not going to cure it. No. So what is chronic fatigue? You got to know what it is to be able to address it. So the old saying that unless you can identify it, you can't really correct it, remains true, particularly for this condition. So if modern medicine has a label of chronic fatigue syndrome, but there is no consensus by medicine on if it's a real condition and how to correct it, well, there's going to be lots of confusion then. So frustration also from patients, failure to help their patients to recover is all part of that whole puzzle. So, you know, one of my herbal professors knew what chronic fatigue was, and he knew how to help people recover from it. It usually stems from a repeat use of long-term antibiotics, you know, or repeat courses of antibiotics. Maybe you have chronic sinus conditions and they keep putting you on this stuff. So they're on these antibiotics that have basically removed a lot of the healthy flora from the digestive tract, and the body can no longer assimilate and convert protein in food to an amino acid, which is fuel for your cells that gives the body energy. So often patients with chronic fatigue would develop a sister condition called fibromyalgia, where the soft tissues become inflamed, swollen, and painful. And in healthcare systems, these patients are referred to physicians in pain clinics, pain specialists, and neurology clinics, and all they're given is pain injections. They just line up, you know, faithfully every month to get an injection. But it's not a way to live. So the fibromyalgia complication, like chronic fatigue, stems from the malfunctioning bowel. So there is an overgrowth of yeast, and this is preventing you to be able to convert nutrition to fuel. And this is linked to the central nervous system, and it becomes agitated with stress, depression, anxiety, sleep deprivation, and it's linked to irritable bowel syndrome as well. So, yeah. So if your blood is not taking nutrition around to all the cells well because your bowel's not assimilating nutrition well, then your nerve endings will start to complain, and this is where chronic fatigue is added to with fibromyalgia. So you got to identify the problem. Chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and irritable bowel syndrome all stem from a bowel that has an overgrowth of yeast and is very dehydrated. So a healthy bowel has 400 good floras, bacterial floras. Antibiotics tend to strip those away. Yeast is allowed to overgrow. Just taking acidophilus is only one of the floras and in a probiotic and may restore some of it, but you need to restore most of it. So if the yeast is not addressed, the other floras will struggle to return to correct your imbalance. And be aware that internal use of colloidal silver will also remove your digestive flora, including the yeast, so then you'll have none. Not good. So I never take colloidal silver internally. That would be no. So consuming this makes it real difficult to restore your floras of the digestive tract, and so would be using DMSO products, so be aware of that. So you want to starve the yeast. So to address the imbalance, the yeast, you have to starve it in order to reduce its dominance. So you want to avoid carbohydrates, fruits, and sugars. Anything that converts to sugar feeds the yeast. So you want to avoid those. Address this sugar conversion, and that way you'll starve the yeast. Avoid also cow's milk, dairy, milk products. It tends to coat the digestive tract with a lot of mucus and produces this barrier and hindering your restoring the flora. So there's a diet that the herbalist that I was taught by in herbal school said, there's a diet you can take to restore the flora. And what you do is you eat brown rice, no white rice, but brown rice. It doesn't convert to sugar. It's a complex carb. Also, you would eat raw or stir-fried vegetables, but no, you know, steam. You can steam some, but don't overcook them and don't boil them. Also, you can use some Celtic sea salt. It helps your digestive tract extract more protein from the vegetables. And also some fermented foods could be also digest sauerkraut, kimchi, things like that. Also some vinegar, some nice vinegar, good quality organic vinegar. It offers some hydrochloric acid to improve the digestive action. And drink water and herbal teas that have no sweetener in it. So don't put any sweetener in it. So you want to stay on the diet. People say, well, how long do I have to stay on this diet? I know. It may feel like torture, but if you want a real genuine cure, this is what is done. You stay on it until your energy starts picking up. When your energy starts picking up, then you know your floras are coming back. So that's what you got to do. It could be a few weeks. It could be a few months. But I you know, my grandmother once said, you can get used to anything if you have to do it. Yeah? So, what I also like to do is maybe encourage some use of some energy boosting herbs like ginsengs are nice. If you don't have heart conditions, the genocides and ginsengs give your cells energy on a cellular level. Those are nice. Also, black walnut and part of our inner bark are also helpful at removing the yeast. These are some herbs that help fight yeast. Avoid any diet but the Mediterranean diet. Once you come off of this diet, go to the Mediterranean diet. So that'll help keep you steady. Hydrate with water. Avoid caffeine and alcohol. It dehydrates you too much. Mullein tincture is good for your glands. It soothes your glands that may be tender or exhausted with the fibromyalgia. If you've got tight muscles, if you're real tense, a little anti-spasmodic herb like lobelia's nice. I like to use that. Valerian root's also a nice herb to help take tension out of the nervous system, help you relax but not sedate you. So all these things help support this system function. You can also use your immune support herbs. Supplements you can still use. So echinacea, astragalus, garlic, these are all very good herbs that you can use to strengthen your immune system. So all these formulas that I just mentioned, herb formulas, you can find at Apothecary Herbs. They even have a handout on chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia with the diet if you need it. It's absolutely free. They can email it to you. They can snail mail it to you. So if that's something that interests you, I mean, you have that power right now to start on a correction of this problem. No prescription required. It's just food nutrition, balancing the floras. Yes, you can use probiotics. One of my favorite is Jarrow. That's a brand I like, J-A-R-R-O-W. So definitely get empowered, stay the course, and get rid of your yeast overgrowth, and you'll get rid of the chronic fatigue and the fibromyalgia. Typically, that's what happens. Instant success. God's plan, with his herbs and foods. He knows what we need. All right, so I can see by the clock I'm out of time. Don't forget the folks at Apothecary Herbs have their Christmas sale going on. Save 25% now through the end of December. Use code STAR23 when you order to save the 25% on an order of $65 or more. But do hurry, because you don't want to risk out of stock. It's the end of year, stuff rolls in. Well, the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, wish you all to be well. ¶¶